Welcome to Photography Adventures Podcast. You like photography? I do too. And this podcast is all about photography. No technical information here, but hey, there's no right or wrong, yes or no answers. It's all about what you feel. So pull up a chair, grab some coffee or your favorite drink, and let's chat about photography.
Welcome to Photography Adventures Podcast with Renee L. Ferguson and
Don D. Hester.
Today is season three. This episode is season three, episode 40, and it's about a large family photo session. In this episode, Don and I discuss how to photograph a large family, how to prepare for a shoot of this type, and what to do if something goes wrong. Something did go wrong. Listen to find out what happened and if I was prepared to handle the situation. How you doing, Dawn?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
You survived it. You made it through.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes no matter how many times you go through it, you read it. But when we hit that record button, it all changes.
I know. Nerves.
That means we care about what we're doing here.
Right. It's okay. Like an adrenaline rush before I click that button. Oh, no. Right.
And I think once we stopped going through all that, we're like, okay, it's time to retire the podcast because we don't care no more.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever do that.
Oh, no.
Not care. We'll always care.
Oh, we always care. But we just get all excited and everything, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is about a large family photo session. Now, this is all about Renee. If I wasn't there, I would not be on this podcast today. And she knows.
She was.
But I was there as her assistant that day. And what I'm going to do is just ask them some questions. And she's going to tell everybody about her adventure with the large family photo session.
Yes. Right? And I really appreciate that she was there.
Oh, no problem. You know, like you were saying before we start recording, you know, when I was there, I just, you know, helped you get your gear together, you know, the ladder and all that. We went out early, you know, check your location, make sure it was right for you and everything. But to, you know, a family of that size,
right?
You know, I think, you know, I'm not a portrait photographer. It seemed like, you know, every photographer should have a backup or no assistant that day.
There's 27 people.
Yeah, that was pretty big. So I'm glad I was, you know, I was there to help you out and, you know, try not to get in your way, but just
you weren't
there
in my way.
But it was interesting. It was interesting to watch you work. So okay, we're gonna get on these questions here. Like I said, you know, if I wasn't there, I would not be here today. So we're gonna start this. So tell everybody, Renee, what type of photo session was this and the location?
Okay, so this was a large family photo shoot. It was a family that I had previously taken photos of, I say approximately 6 or 7 years ago. This has been a family that I've been associated with for several years. I mean, even long before I took their photos, I've been in contact with them. Not the whole entire family, but one of the women in the family I've been around since elementary school.
Okay. It was, you know what? It was really cool knowing that you knew a lot of the family members, and they were like, man, that's really, really neat that a lot of them showed up. And like you said, one came from Texas.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah.
I thought that was really, really good.
And to see, and then I met the whole family about 6 or 7 years ago. But the cool thing is I almost remembered almost all their names. Some of the new additions I didn't know, but for the most part, I knew most of them.
And they remembered you too. So I thought
it was
that
fun.
Was really great. Yeah.
Now the location was at the base of the mountain on Skyline Drive, where the Shenandoah National Park is, and that's in Front Royal, Virginia. So that's where the location was.
Nice location.
It was. The land where we were on the father, which is now, I think he's 92. Mm-hmm. That's where he grew up. So they wanted to make sure that he got pictures taken on the land where he grew up.
And you know what? He didn't look like he was in his 90s.
No.
He did not. No. He still had a lot of spunk in him.
He sure did.
And that was really nice to see.
He's vibrant.
Yes. Yes. Very, very. So how was the weather that day?
At first, it was a little bit overcast and cold, but as time went on, it warmed up, and it was a nice day.
It was around the 40s, 50s, maybe? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were down by the water. There's a stream that was right behind it, but it didn't seem to affect the temperature.
Mm-hmm. And because we didn't know how the weather was, we both were kind of semi-bundled.
I had a lot of stuff in that truck.
Okay. I was semi-bundled. Because I knew the truck wouldn't be too far away. Mm-mm. You know, I could jump in and get warm, right, and jump back out. But it turned out to be a really, really pretty. It was it's pretty out there.
It is.
Because it was down in the, like, a valley. Valley. Like, it had all the trees around. So that location, I don't know if it was you or the lady that, you know, you was working with the whole time, whoever selected location.
Oh, they selected it because that's where he grew up. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. That's right. And it was very good. So pretty good, pretty good. What time of the day was it?
1 o'clock.
Not bad.
No, but we were there a long time before that.
Yeah, right. So at least they gave you plenty of time where you didn't have to get up too early in the morning to go out there and get set up. So, you know, that worked out pretty good.
So for me to get there, it's almost an hour drive, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, and then we've got there... What? We got there about 11 something, didn't we?
Something like that. Mm-hmm. 11:30?
Yeah. And, but I had actually gone there ahead of time, too. So prior to that day, I had met with one of the lady that actually booked the shoot. I actually went out with her, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time. To actually scout out the location and see where they wanted to take pictures, because I wanted to have a feel what it's going to look like and where I could take pictures. And then I met, knowing what time that they wanted that shoot to be, I met at that time there to see what the lighting was going to be like.
Right. And that helped you to prepare the shoot.
I had
that time.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. So what are some of the things you thought about before this photo session?
Okay.
And how much research did you end up doing?
So right where they wanted to take the picture, I knew there was going to be kind of like split lighting, because where the sun was going to be, there was trees. Mm-hmm. And then I also knew I needed to light, because where I had actually had the lady stand, right where they wanted to take that photo, it was like really split lighting. Mm-hmm. Where that sun was going to be, and then that whole shadow side. And I knew I was going to have to take off-camera flash to light the other sides of their faces to make sure that they didn't have that heavy shadow on the other side.
Plus, there was that building, those buildings that they use for
honey.
Right. Yeah. So it's that big building right there.
Shed.
The sun was trying to.
It was in a tree.
Remember? Yeah, it was trying to come through and everything. So you had that factor going on.
The funny thing about that is when I was there before, they didn't have a tree stand. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the tent on it that you can hide. So there would have been a bit more light to shine on that side. But because that was there, it blocked blocked a bit of it that it wasn't there before. What I did do is I practiced at home at that time in my yard on how to get that light to, where to set my lights to get that shadow off that other side, because I knew what time was going to be.
Right. And speaking of gear, what did you use that day?
Two things. I had portable lighting. I used Elenchrome strobes. So I had a Elenchrome 1, and then I also had my Elenchrome ELB 400s. a battery pack set. And I had a Magnum light modifier, or a Magnum modifier that shines more light. But then I also had I had my beauty dish, but I had bought a soft box. It was windy earlier, mm-hmm. and I had an Octa for, I guess it's a 43-inch Octa, and mm-hmm. I was going to use that at the beginning, but there was a bit more wind, so I stuck with the Magnum at first until the wind died down.
Okay. And with your C-stand.
Yeah, C-stand.
You know, I've never really seen a C-stand in person.
Okay.
So that was the first time seeing a C-stand.
Oh.
And try to lift it. Yeah, I never used them. And to lift it up, I'm like,
oh, it's heavy.
Wait, it's heavy. So, like you said, when that wind was coming down and dipping a little bit, mm-hmm. it did what it had to do.
I had strong C-stands, plus I had two sandbags on them to hold them down.
And what camera gear did you use that day?
For that day, I used a Nikon D850, but I used a 28 because of the width. But then also, I, a little giant ladder.
Right.
Cause I'm vertically challenged, so I can't stand.
I was laughing because of that. I was laughing because, like I was saying, you know, help you out, assist you and everything. And as we got it all set up, you was getting on the ladder, and I come over automatically to hold the ladder. And you're like, back off, howdy guys.
I ain't say it like that.
But it's just one of those things that automatically mm-hmm. happen. If I see somebody on the ladder, I come to hold the ladder.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's a big giant, little giant, grandbaby giant. It's just one of the instincts. I just go and hold the ladder.
Right.
Because I don't want nobody to fall.
But see, sometimes I'm kind of, you know, it might not be as steady as I was before. If I didn't want to fall on you.
And, you know, when you think about it, you know, all jokes aside, when you think of the land that we were at, mm-hmm. it wasn't, it was off balance, I guess.
Right.
A lot of little hills and things mm-hmm. like that. And we had to watch where we were walking because we didn't want to walk into a little small right. hole or something like mm-hmm. that. So that played a factor, too, because I think the part of the land where you had a family, mm-hmm. that really wasn't flat.
No. And then there was a dip behind them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought a chair.
I did. And the reason I brought a chair is because I knew that he was going to... I've taken pictures of a lot of elderly individuals. Mm-hmm. And I know that time is short with them. Number one, you have to be sensitive to that. And number two, they might not be able to stand as long as you want them to. Mm-hmm. So I took a chair... it was like, it's shaped like an old farm chair. It's metal, but mm-hmm. it looks like one of those old farm chairs, but it's a metal chair. And
it kind of fit in the scene.
But... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I did is the first picture, they wanted to make sure that he was standing with the rest of the group. But when they did the breakdowns of the different groups, I didn't want him standing that long because he is, 92. And I wanted to make sure that he was comfortable and they were able to get all the pictures that they wanted. So, and he looked relieved because he even had one of those fancy walking sticks
mm-hmm.
That was varnished. It was a real nice one. And as soon as we brought that chair over and had him sit, he said, "Oh, I'm so glad you got that."
And that's a good thing. You know, like you said, you're thinking of your client.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not just one, but you thought about everybody mm-hmm. across the board. And like you said, you know, the dad was 92 years old.
Yeah.
And
the youngest
one. He looked good and everything, but he's 92 years old.
No, he can't stand
that
long.
That was a smart move. Very smart move.
Thank you. But he, the range was from age 10 to 92. So, I mean, that's mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the families... The lady you was working with, I mean, she was like doing her
thing. I had them group up to, all right, you know, while I'm taking this one, you set the next group up so that we send them in. And actually, for a group that size and all their breakdowns, I think it was less than an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also included that you took him over to look outside, mm-hmm. out to the river.
There was a spot in the river where he used to go swim. And it was kind of like an island in the middle of the river. And there was mm-hmm. a place where he used to go out there and swim. And they wanted to make sure that they got a picture of a small... And have that in the background. Not necessarily you see the whole part, but they wanted a mm-hmm. small portion of that in the background and him looking out there at it. So even including, you know, resetting and taking a photo over there, we still were pretty much under around less than an hour to an hour.
Yeah. It worked out really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, you know, you was able to take photographs that the family members chit-chatting mm-hmm. with each other, just the relaxing and everything. And I think they'll appreciate those just as much mm-hmm. as the portrait. Because like you said, you had some family members flying into yes. from Texas.
Yes.
And lucky for them, the weather was just right for mm-hmm. them to fly into Texas for just one thing, and the weather was just perfect.
Right. It was. It was nice. Put it this way, it wasn't cold enough where you had to wear a coat.
No.
Mm-mm. I had it, though.
Yeah.
Just in case.
And like you said, your car is right there, so I'm mm-hmm. you know, time out. We got to go and heat up a little bit. We'd be right back.
Because mm-hmm. we were out in the middle of a farm, really.
Yeah.
You had to drive across farmland to get to it.
Mm-hmm. It was a nice setting.
It is.
It was a nice setting. So how was the photo session and did it go smoothly? Maybe talk a little bit about your two different flashes because you just purchased a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So you had that going on with the other one and the old one got an attitude.
Sure did.
So I'm just saying.
So, did it go smoothly? The photo shoot itself went smoothly. Now, the before sent my brain in a frenzy. So, when you're setting up and you know what area is, so I'm going to set up the lights. So, Dawn and I set up the lights. We got it all ready and I was testing the light out where on Dawn where it would actually be. So, we're ahead of time. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got plenty of time. So when you get a gut feeling before a shoot to do something, I recommend do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a Elenchrome ELB 400, and I've had that for some time. But over time, you've started to see some wear on it. Mm-hmm. And with me using it, I was like, what happens? You know, I think in the scenario of, you know, what if something goes wrong with this unit? What do I have as a backup? Now, I do have a battery pack to carry for, I have an ELC 500. I do have a battery pack to carry for that just in case. But I didn't really want to carry that one because I use that for a different purpose. I use that in studio, in my home studio for another type of photo. Mm-hmm. Well, I did purchase an Elenchrome one. Because I had this gut feeling that something just might go wrong with my my portable unit that I usually use.
The new one you purchased, you had it maybe a week, 2 weeks?
Week and a half, a week.
Yeah,
maybe.
It was tight. It was a tight
window. It's enough for me to get it in here and test it out outside before I had that shoot.
Right. Okay.
So I set it all up and I set up the old one first and everything was working fine with it. I set the other one up and it wasn't on the same channel. Now, why this glitched, I have no idea. I still haven't, because of things going on, I haven't really tested out to find out why. I just know that I have this other one as a backup if I have to. But mm-hmm. when I set the other one to go on the same channel, they were on a different group. When I changed the group on the Elenchrome one, my other one, my original one, quit working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember before then,
it was fine.
I was standing there to make sure your flash was going on and everything was good. Everything was good.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you switched and
I switched that and I'm like, what happened? And I said, is it going on? She's like, no. Dawn was like, no, it's not. I'm like, so I go back and look at the settings. Settings still the same. Mm-hmm. But when I put that, I don't know what interference happened, but when I put that one on that group with the other one so that they would fire together, didn't work. So I had to resituate everything before they got there. But thank God I had time because because if I'd have gotten there at the time that shoot was, I would have been a, it would have taken a while to get set up, and then you would have had a frustration level with the family because then you don't look prepared. No, I had glitches.
Right.
And it's like, when it didn't work, the first thing, I keep myself calm. I don't think Dawn saw me in a frenzy. But she knows me, so I don't know if she saw.
I know. She'll figure something out.
But I'm going to tell you, the first thing to go through my mind was a panic mode.
Right.
Because I've got people coming here in the next 20 minutes, and something's not working right.
Right.
Now I have to resituate myself, reposition myself, and then test it out on Dawn again before, because I'm like, oh God, this is not going to work. But then it's like, you have to take a deep breath, calm yourself, because you've got to go back to, this is what the job has to, this is the job, this is what's got to be done. And whether or not you are prepared or not, it's still got to be done.
Got to be done.
So for me to have a gut feeling ahead of time that this needs, you know, I need a new upgrade, I went with that. And I did it. And now, and the funny thing is, I was actually going to go with a whole different line of.
Right. So, that price was right.
So I know that this date was going to be at this certain time. And it's like, okay, so I'm going to scrap all the gear that I've got technology wise and go with a whole different setup. And then I was like, I was going to do it. Dawn and I sat there and talked about it. I was going to do it. Then I talked to my husband. He had a change of heart, I guess. Well, he didn't have no change of heart. I ended up having one.
but once you heard his side,
yeah,
it makes sense.
It did. Because
we was all up in the prices, like what, $5?
Oh yeah,
all that.
The whole setup would have been a whole lot cheaper than what I got. This
I would
one
buy
for.
It just because, not because I was going to use it, because the price was right.
It was.
But, you know, you had somebody on the outside looking in and like, ah.
With a different look. And mm-hmm. it really made sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got the new gear. And I'm glad I did, because it worked out well.
Yeah.
It did what it had to do. No, it's not the brightest of the light, but when you put a magnum reflector on it, it shoots a lot more light out. So it actually worked a lot. It worked well, and the photos really came out well.
And if that one had failed, you did have some type of flash unit in your gear, mm-hmm. just in case. I mean, you don't know.
Yep.
Don't know.
You don't know. I had a backup to a backup to a backup.
You just don't.
I had speed lights on. Like, I had speed lights waiting just in case.
And, speed lights work, y'all. Speed lights work.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to. You was ready. You know. Because I knew, okay, yeah, you got two lights. And we know one was working. So I knew. I said, okay, she got a light. You know, so she's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. I was like, but to say that my mind wasn't in a frenzy. It was. It hit panic mode immediately. I didn't show it. And even when I didn't have everything like I wanted it, I was versatile enough to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
though this is not working, I got, you know, this job has to be done. I can't look like I'm in a panic mode. I can't look like I don't know what I'm doing, because I do. So that, I guess, is experience. Because I know any photographer, if you got a equipment failure, I know you're not comfortable.
Right. And then sometimes even say like you got everything working. Everything is working.
It was.
Set your client up and then nothing worked.
Right.
And 5 minutes ago everything was working.
Uh-huh.
That light they got attitudes, like, man. They get some attitude.
Oh, it got an attitude. I don't know if it got an attitude because I got a new unit or what. I don't know. Okay, since you got that, I ain't working. That's kind of what and happened.
That, you took the old one that's been there all their life, put them on the second channel. You put the new one on the first? Oh, no, that don't work. You took the seniority one, just kicked it to the door. And he's like, I ain't working at all.
No, it was on that channel. It had been on that channel. And I've always used it on that channel. But as soon as I put that other one on the same channel as it, it just did not work. I don't know if there's some kind of interference or whatever. I'm going to test it out. I just haven't done it yet. But I am going to figure out what happened.
Yeah. And like you said, two different, I mean, same brand and everything, but two different models.
Right.
And like you said, you had the older one for quite some time, and now you got this newer one. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're clashing somewhere, but you'll figure it out.
I will.
But you had a backup to a backup. Everybody was happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it's worse if, when people know you versus, like, your new photographer. You know?
I enjoyed the shoot, though.
Huh?
I said I enjoyed the shoot, though.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it, too. Like I said, 20-some people, everything went well, everybody laid back, the different families did what they needed to do.
We even had a dog there.
The dog and the little cardinal.
Yeah. The cardinal was in representation of the mom that had passed away. So to give you a little bit of history, the first time I took the family, the mom was still present with us. Mm-hmm. And I would say within a year or so after that photo was taken, she passed away. So they wanted to do another one with him. The first one was taken on where her family grew up. The second one was taken where he grew up. And to represent her, they had all these little, it was like, pins. The each female had a pin to represent the mom. So it was like a little bird pin that was like jewels, and it was pretty. All of them were pretty. So all the females were wore that and represent the mom. And then for him, they had a small it almost looked realistic, but it was a cardinal that he held in his hand.
It did look real.
It did.
It really did.
So he held that cardinal in his hand to represent her. And I thought it was sweet that they made sure that what she liked or a representation of her was in that photo.
Very nice. Very well done. Mm-hmm. Very
Well,
I enjoyed myself.
I did too.
No, seriously, I mean, just being there helping out, but just, you know, the family itself. And like you said, you know, you tell me about the history to you all. And, you know, you getting there and everybody still remember people. And, you know, they seem like they had a good time.
They did. I enjoyed myself.
And it's not often you get that amount of family members together at one time anymore.
It meant a lot to me to see that even if they weren't in town, they planned enough that they could get the whole entire family there.
Now, did they have a plan B if the weather was bad? Did you have a plan B?
Probably another date closer to what they had. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I'm thinking about the guy that came from Texas.
Well, see, the last time I took their photos. Now, it's funny that you say that because the last time I took their photos was in Romney, West Virginia. And it rained that whole morning.
Okay.
And even after we had a break in the rain and they were like, we're still taking a photo. We were in a field. It was wet.
And that was their mom's home.
That was her mom. Their mom. It was their mom's area where she grew up. And the house that they were at, I think, I want to say it was either 100 or 200 years old. It was old. Mm-hmm. That house had been in that family for years.
Wow.
And they took trash bags and stuck them down they wanted the picture in high grass. And they stuck trash bags down in they stepped on in the first photo so that they wouldn't have, you know, wetness around them or whatever. But they came prepared. They had trash bags for that.
Wow.
So this one really worked out a lot better. It was still a good shoot, but it was nice.
What did you learn from this?
No matter what, come prepared. Don't panic. And enjoy yourself.
You gotta have fun.
Enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm.
You gotta have fun. Yeah. And I think a lot of time people forget about the fun part. I know it's your business person, mm-hmm. but you can still enjoy what you're mm-hmm. doing.
Even with the glitches, I still enjoy myself.
Right, right.
That it didn't shake me to the point where I didn't remember what my job was. Mm-hmm. I mean, because sometimes you can hit a rough spot and it'll shake you for a bit and you won't come back from it. Once you get going, don't miss out on the memory and what your job is just because of a glitch. And that's the way I looked at it.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Anything else, Ms. Renee?
Did you enjoy yourself?
I did.
What did you learn? I'll ask you that.
What did I learn?
Because you're a different type of photographer than me.
Right. And I've done a little bit. I would never do groups because I'm not that much into people. I would do like one or two people, but not a big group like that. Even when I worked, I didn't like that.
Right.
The grip and grin, I didn't like it. But I've learned, like you said, you know, you went early. It was all about the lighting. I saw, you know, I liked how you set everything up. If you did panic, nobody saw it. But like you said, you got to have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And you had two backups.
Right.
And you had fun.
I did.
And like I said, I think it made a big difference when you knew the people. Because I remember, I think we was trying to take something off and one of the guys came over and helped take, we were trying to break things down, I think.
No, I was actually,
you were going to switch out something else.
I switched because the weather changed and there was not much wind, I switched to the Octa instead of using the other modifier. And because that thing is new, I had practiced with it, but it's still, you know, you still have to, that Elenchrome speed ring is a little testy some. So for one of the young guys that were went to school with my sons, mm-hmm. he came over and he was like, I'll help you. And he helped put it together. So, you know, yeah, it worked out well.
A couple other people came around because
his mom and his aunt came around and they all helped me get it together. We rode with it. Mm-hmm. And then when the one piece would slide, then one of the other ones I'm vertically challenged. Mm-hmm. So one of the other guys that was really tall, he helped set it up there.
And I thought it was neat how you, way before this happened, how you went outside in your backyard around the same time you thought your shoot was going to be, trying to get that same look and feel and do your practice there. And it helped you out a lot. And then, like I said, coming in, you know, with off-camera flash, which I've done it from time to time. Mm-hmm. But like you said, when one goes out, and then you had the big hunting.
The hunting
stand. You know, so you had that factor.
Right.
You know, but, and then, like you said, the sun's starting to move. Starting to move.
So it shifted quickly because by the time we finished, it was back further in the sky. So the look was different.
Yeah. And like I said, it don't take much with the sun change. It changes everything.
But off camera Flash filled in those dark shadows, though.
I like off camera Flash. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I'm glad I was able to spend a little bit time with you on your large family. That was large.
I appreciate it. I really do.
And like I said, for a large, and they all basically showed up.
Right.
That's
It's 20.
That's great.
It was 27 of them.
That's unbelievable, right? And the dog. And the dog was good.
The dog was really good. Dog sat up in the picture like a champ. Had his little bandana on. Say, I'm in here.
Yeah. And then when he ran around, he didn't bother us at all. Mm-hmm. He just ran around like a typical dog playing. Mm-hmm. And so that went good. Okay. Well, thank you for let me hang out with you today on your,
well, thank
on your
you.
Podcast.
On my podcast. You were there.
Like I said, if I wasn't there, y'all would not see or hear me today. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And like I say, when you get a chance to see a photographer work a large family photo session, it's really something to see. And like you said, you got to have your backups to the backup, mm-hmm. to the backup.
Yeah.
Did you have a backup to your camera that day? Did you?
Yeah, I had two other ones with me.
Yeah, because you had your little cart.
Mm-hmm.
You put everything on your cart, you rolled on out, and you just.
I actually had my D750, and then just in case that one failed, I had my 7100.
Okay.
Yep, I had two backups just in case.
Because you don't know.
You never know.
Your camera gear have feelings too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. But look, thanks for listening to us today. And I hope you learned a lot from, you know, large family photo sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you ever have an opportunity to do it, go ahead and do it.
Right.
But be prepared for anything, because anything can happen.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it turned out great, right?
Yes, it did.
So thank you all for coming through again, listening to us. And until next time.
Y'all come back now.
Thank you for listening in to Photography Adventures. You can follow on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes and Spotify. Until next time, peace.